At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports. Today on Sports Grid, I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. It is the month of June and the fantasy baseball season approaching the halfway point. Great to be with you back here on the show on Sports Grid. Lots of baseball discussion, of course, from Davis and I here on the program. And Davis, we have hit the Memorial Day mark. A lot of folks are looking at their fantasy baseball teams at this point saying, all right, you know, I really got a shot. Some were saying, guys, I'm sorry, but my season is over. It's time for me to play some daily fantasy. I mean, look, I think that's fair. You know, some people are in last place or second to last, and they're like, they're out of it in their season-long league. But the March goes on, and, you know, pretty soon Davis will be at that 80-game mark. We'll do a show here where we talk about our fantasy baseball all-stars. It's crazy to think that we're probably, you know, only about a month away from that.
I mean, it does feel crazy because to me, I'm like, oh, look, you know, starting pitchers, they're just getting ramped up right now. We're still waiting. When's Garrett Cole going to get back? But yeah, we are at the stage of the season where we've already had multiple, you know, World Series price altering injuries. Crazily enough, we're here and we already have 2 40 win teams. And I don't think either one of the teams at this stage, June 1st, that have 40 wins, would not, if we were doing a draft, right? If we were doing a draft, I don't think either of those teams would have been a top 3 pick, maybe a top 4 pick when we started at the beginning of the season, which I think is fairly interesting. You know, that's one of the great things about baseball is we think we've got it all figured out with our charts and our graphs, and it does still find ways to surprise us.
Yeah, I mean, specifically, I mean, look, let's be real. The Yankees, you know, the month of April, Juan Soto, you know, carried him. Aaron Judge carried him in May. And, yeah, it's just been the dynamic of fantasy baseball right now. You have to have the top guys to still be in it. So let's get into it and talk about some of the headlines here on the show as we begin. Rhys Hoskins is back. He's headed back to Philadelphia off the injured list. So good news there for him. Zach Gallen, unfortunately, heads to the injured list with a strained hamstring. For a pitcher, you need those legs, so we're not going to see Gallen, I would guess, for a few weeks. The Baltimore Orioles are going to have to make a decision here coming up in about a month because they lost Tyler Wells. He is, in all likelihood, out for the season having surgery. I mean, John Means really hasn't pitched for them, Davis, the last couple of years, so, I mean, people are making a lot of that, but, I mean, I don't know. He hasn't been there, but Wells is definitely somebody that they're going to have to replace. And then Ronald Acuña Jr. is going to miss the season, unfortunately, with a torn ACL. He had this a couple of years ago. The Braves went on to win the World Series. It didn't really matter for them. The thing the Braves did at the time, Davis, if you remember when Acuña went down, where I think it was actually before they went down, they ended up acquiring Adam Duvall from Miami and Jorge Soler from Kansas City. Soler ends up winning the World Series MVP. Duvall was phenomenal for them down the stretch. And I'm going to guess that in fantasy, you know, Acuña, if you have him on your team this year, you're not winning. I mean, it's almost impossible to say that you were, especially in these leagues where you use salary cap and you basically had an auction draft. I mean, there's just no replacing this guy. He didn't really have a good first 50 games or so of the season. And for the Braves, it's big trouble. And for your fantasy team, it's just one of those things in a redraft league where you look at it and say, I got unlucky.
I mean, look, you drafted Ronald Acuña Jr. first overall. You spent 40%, 30%, 35% of your auction budget on Ronald Acuña Jr. The great thing that I can tell you is that there's going to be a fantasy baseball season next year and the year after that and the year after that. So there's a lot left to play. You've got fantasy football coming up. You know, drafts are going to start here in about 2 months or so. You've got a great NBA final series coming up between the Dallas Mavericks and the Boston Celtics to watch. But I'm going to go ahead and guess that you're probably 12th out of 15th in your league at the absolute best. You're way behind in stolen bases. You're way behind in home runs. And that's fine. You know, that is what it is. For those of you who didn't draft Ronald Acuña Jr., I actually think there is a pretty real opportunity in your leagues. The first of which is you got to try and get Michael Harris right now. So Michael Harris, rest of season projection, about 15 home runs, 18 stolen bases. The thing is, it really opens up in their lineup. They don't have a super obvious second hitter if they move Ozzie Albies to first. In the first game after Ronald Acuña Jr. got injured, you know who led off? Former NL Rookie of the Year, Michael Harris. If he leads off, Craig, for the rest of the way, I think we might end up looking back on this season and being like, wow, this guy who we all had projected to bat ninth all year, eighth all year, is leading off for like the fourth best offense in baseball. He hits for decent average. I mean, look, not a great batting average, but we're talking about a guy rest of season who can hit, 20 home runs, who could steal 35 bases if he wanted to and might score 80 runs the rest of the way.
Yeah, and look, I don't think the Braves are done, Davis. I don't know who they're going to end up with, but they're not playing the season out and saying, woe is me, we lost Strider, we lost Acuña. I believe something will happen. From a fantasy perspective, there's really not a lot you can do. If there isn't like some player out there all of a sudden that's going to become Acuña or 80% or 70% or probably even 50% of Acuña. There's just no doing it. Harris is a really good try there, I would say. Keep in mind, against lefties, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that he'll ever bat first or second in that lineup for the Braves. I think they'll mix and match a little bit. You remember last year they were using Eddie Rosario there at the top. So I think there'll be some mixing and matching. I do think what's going to be interesting, Davis, maybe I'll be wrong about this. Maybe I'll be wrong. But I think the conversation we're going to be having next month is going to be like, is Trout going to be on the Braves? Or is Trout going to be on the Phillies? And I think that's like the one player that, you know, there's nothing you can do right now, because if you drafted Trout in fantasy, he's like sitting on your injured list. But I think that's our conversation coming this summer. I think the Angels are going to try and move him. And I don't know, man. Something tells me one of those teams, Braves, Phillies, like I really think one of those teams is going to end up with him.
I mean, I would love that idea. Like in the same way that it has been amazing to watch Shohei Ohtani play meaningful baseball for a meaningful baseball team, I think the same thing is totally true about Trout. No one who seriously loves baseball can enjoy that this is what has become of Mike Trout's career, where he gets about 400 plate appearances per season for a 72 win team. I mean, imagine the place that Mickey Mantle or Joe DiMaggio would hold in our consciousness if those Yankees teams were terrible, or if they never ended up on the Yankees, you know, if they were just kind of, you know, whiling away for the Memphis Redbirds or whatever. Like, they just would, the stats would be great, but it just would be much different. And to the point, Craig, that I actually think the average baseball fan doesn't realize how good Mike Trout is, that like the Mike Trout in the popular imagination is like a really good, maybe like an Ernie Banks style player, you know, a guy with like a really great ceiling who won an MVP on that terrible fifth place Toronto Blue Jays team. But if you really put Trout in like a historical context, I mean, he is one of the 15 best hitters that the sport has ever seen. Like maybe better than that, probably top 10 hitters we've ever seen. And I would love, I mean, imagine him batting fifth for the Braves. Watch out the rest of baseball, I think, if they're able to get that transaction in.
Look, we 2 years ago, we did a show here, and all we did was talk about, and we did fantasy or reality, which we'll have later in the show. How many times did we do the Nationals will trade Juan Soto? And I said, no, never, 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 never. And they did.
Yeah.
You cannot rule out anything anymore in sports. And just to think that this is the way it's going to be in the second half, Trout's going to come back for the Angels, I ain't buying it. I think it's very hard to project that kind of move. I would guess it's crazy to think, Davis, but I think that the Angels are probably going to have to eat some money I do. I think they may have to eat some money. It's just too much money, I think, for any team to take on right now. But that would be the move for me. I think so. Now, we'll take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today. When we come back...
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com, Upwork.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Next, it's time to take a look at this week's best in fantasy baseball. Perhaps the most underrated player of the last several years in fantasy, with another incredible week on a first-place team in Major League Baseball. Also, don't forget, we also have Gray Albright coming up a little bit later in the program, Fantasy Reality, Sports Grid 60. As we're off and running here on this Saturday morning edition of Fantasy Sports Today, as we turn the clock to June 2024. Half of the year almost over in 2024. Who would have thought? We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Let's take a look at who's hot in fantasy baseball. Davis, I mean, let's start off with the guy that has got to be the most underrated player in fantasy baseball. I mean, it is not close. Davis, Jose Ramirez of the Cleveland Guardians has his team in first place. He had 4 home runs again last week. I know he only stole 1 base. Davis, if you look at comparisons, we were talking about Ernie Banks. If you were talking about Hall of Fame trajectory players, people would be shocked to learn Jose Ramirez could end up being a Hall of Famer, and no one even mentions this guy's name. Cleveland ended up signing him to a contract extension. He's never the first pick in fantasy baseball. He's always, at the end of the season, ranked as the number 2 or number 3 player in fantasy baseball. He's never any fun to draft. Everyone always wants to take somebody else. But this guy comes through every single year. He's just one of the very best players in the game.
He is. You definitely like to put guys in the Hall of Fame a little. You're such a Hall of Very Good guy, which is totally what Jose Ramirez is. Like, he to me, you know, a good comp for him is like a Scott Rolen, who is a Hall of Famer, but Scott Rolen played forever. Scott Rolen added up the counting stats he played until he was 37. He got 18 years in the big leagues. You're right, though. I mean, Jose Ramirez, the funny thing is, Craig, and I think this might play into why people, you know, underrate him a little bit. The last 4 years of his career, he's gone through multiple, like, 300 plate appearance stretches where he has been brutal. Just like, and like baseball's a hard game. I mean, I'm definitely not hanging it against him, and his year-end statistics end up being awesome, but he's just gone through a couple extended slumps. I think, I think that's definitely a little bit a part of it. It was 2021 where he went through a huge slump, and also back, you know, I want to say 2019, even though he ended up being awesome that season as well. The Guardians did just leave Coors Field, and they absolutely beat up on those poor Colorado Rockies. Josh Naylor hit a couple home runs. They just they really took advantage of those environments.
I think right now Ramirez is on track for 300 home runs and 300 steals.
Yeah.
The only player I think that's not in the Hall of Fame with that is Barry Bonds. So I'm pretty sure that if he continues to do what he's doing, he's going to get there. He's on track for another 4 WAR season. Is Jose Ramirez leading the majors in runs driven in? I don't know. Every year he just seems to be very underrated to me. Julio Rodriguez was one of the top. How has Seattle gotten this far without getting the crazy stats from Julio Rodriguez? I'll have no idea. They just fired their offensive coach and bench coach. Now Julio's gotten hot, stealing bases, getting hot. It feels like, Davis, this may just be who he is, right? It feels like you can't worry about Julio in April anymore because you're just not going to get it. I mean, this is like a trend already at this point. But once like the weather warms up, it feels like he gets hot. That's what's been going on.
I mean, yeah, look, Julio Rodriguez is 1,500 plate appearances into his career. He is almost he's an above 800 OPS guy, above 130 OPS plus. He hits about 280. He doesn't walk a ton. I mean, I think that's probably the difference between Julio Rodriguez and some of the other great players in baseball right now, like some of the guys who would be considered, you know, franchise marquee cornerstone players, Otani, Judge, Trout, you know, whomever, the true greatest hitters in baseball, all walk about 10-11% of the time. Julio Rodriguez walks about half that. I would imagine that there might be a philosophical thing inside the organization for them to be like, we wish that you would do this a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, look, Julio Rodriguez is going to be completely fine. We did the same thing with him last season. He ends up fourth in MVP voting. He hits 32 home runs. He drives in 103 RBIs. He steals 37 bases, hits 275. The level of concern about Julio Rodriguez on this program, 0.0. Do not care. Do not worry at all.
Yep, still a great player. All right, we knew that we were going to do a show here. We're going to have good things to say about somebody on the Washington Nationals because our producer Sam somehow is still a fan of this team. Mackenzie Gore, last two starts, 12 innings pitched, 18 strikeouts, one walk. Gore was a very highly touted prospect in that trade with the Washington Nationals and San Diego Padres. Still trying to figure out what the Padres are doing, Davis, right? Like, they traded all of those players for Juan Soto. They traded James Wood, Hassel, right? Didn't they trade him? And Gore? Like, they traded, like, a bunch of guys, and then the next year, they traded Soto. So, good for Washington. Washington's going to rebuild their franchise and be, like, really good in a year or two thanks to that trade.
It's true. Yeah. No, I definitely think you're right. Mackenzie Gore, I'm always interested in guys who fit this profile. Like, literal former first round pick, starting pitchers. Maybe they had struggles early in their career. Maybe they were injured earlier in their career. Gore actually has kind of always been all right. He just like walks everyone. I mean, his first exposure in the major leagues, 12% walk rate. You're just not going to be effective in Major League Baseball walking that many guys. He is down to a 7% walk rate, up to a 30% K rate. Dare I say it, producer Sam, our Washington Nationals fan here at the network, I think there's something there. I'm going to go ahead and say I think there's something there, and there's a chance that he kind of swings stuff in fantasy baseball in the second half, even playing on that terrible, terrible team.
All right, finally, let's go to the Marlins. Braxton Garrett missed almost a month and a half of the season. He's back now pitching, and Davis, sometimes the strikeouts are up, sometimes they're down, pitching very well for Miami, but, you know, certainly I can speak to this pitcher. The way that I describe it, in baseball, people ask me about him, is I think he's more valuable to the Marlins than maybe to anybody else, just because he goes deep into games, usually gives up 3 earned runs, something along those lines. But, you know, generally speaking, back-end fantasy guy for me at best.
Yes, I think that's true. Although, again, I would say very similar to Gore, 3% walk rate, Craig. 3%. I mean, just having a guy who like literally never issues a free pass. I mean, we've talked about Eric Fetty. We've talked about a lot, Tyler Anderson, a lot of crappy pitchers who just get through. I mean, he's basically going to be right around a one whip. That in and of itself is going to help you in fantasy baseball.
It is. All right. Coming up, we go.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Look through some of the players that you're looking on your team. You're like, should I put them on the bench this week because they had a tough week? Probably not the case with the first couple guys we're going to talk about, but we'll continue our conversation next on Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Time to take a look at some batters that did not have a great week. Probably the first time we've ever mentioned a bad week for this player here. JT Realmuto had a bad week. I don't know. Looks pretty good to me, Davis. Two home runs, 267, a catcher. I don't know. I mean, is this personal or something here? If I got two home runs from my catcher last week, I would say it's a great week. In fact, if I got two home runs in a month from my catcher, I would say it's a great week. What gives here?
Yeah, look, I think that's probably pretty fair. You get a home run from your catcher and you say, you know what? Goodbye me. Fine by me. The catcher position, I mean, it's actually worse, honestly, than it's ever been, because a lot of teams are, they're not even playing two. A lot of teams now, I've noticed, you know, just from being in the weeds playing daily fantasy baseball, a lot of teams are using three catchers now. You know, a lot of teams have the pitcher specific catcher, which I actually always do find that kind of fascinating. But this is a pro JT Realmuto show in general, so we are of course not worried about the Phillies, not worried about our friend JT Realmuto.
You know, it's funny that we you know, sort of at apples and oranges when we do tight ends in fantasy football, but I think that we sort of agree that it's usually really bad. But sometimes there's these cycles in fantasy football where the tight end position's like a little bit deeper and you're starting to feel like a little bit better about it. But I think you're right. Like, I'm starting to feel a little bit worse about it. Davis, I don't think there'll ever be a day, hear me out, okay? Crazier things have happened. I don't think there'll ever be a day where the catchers don't hit. But is it a crazy thought? Is it an insane thought? Like right now there's catchers watching who are, you know, high school kids and college kids are like, oh, this Craig Mish, he's a hack. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But like, I don't know if you probably don't check this, but like Cubs fans are like going bananas over their catching this year. Like they have two, like Yan Gomes, who I like a lot, by the way, is hitting, I think like 180. And then this Amaya is hitting like 190. Like, wait a second. How can we not find anybody to hit like 220? It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's one of those things where I wonder, it's like at that point, baseball almost becomes a different game where everyone is so hyper-specialized. And before anyone goes, the first thing is designated hitter didn't always exist, right? Designated hitter it was part of the labor negotiations in the initiation of free agency. Then the designated hitter was only for one league, which, again, if you think about it, if you really think about it, how insane is it that in a professional organized sport where billions of dollars, this is a billion-dollar business, half of the league has a position and the other half doesn't? I mean, can you just, it's insane. It's completely insane. And then, yeah, I mean, why not? Why could the catcher, why could there not be a designated catcher who is then replaced by, you know, an outfielder? Yeah, it is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, look, Adley Rutschman is going to throw something at us. I get it. But, you know, there's only one of him. And there's like 25 other guys that don't perform. I don't think it's going to happen, but is it unreasonable to think that it could? You're right, though, if you think about it. It's like, think about it, like in the NFL, like you can't play with a tight end. in only the AFC.
Only the AFC can have tight ends.
That's it. All right, let's move to Brian Reynolds of the Pirates. One home run, four runs driven in. I mean, all these guys are sliding under the radar right now in Pittsburgh. Like, everybody on the offensive side for the Pirates are like, we can do whatever we want because Skeens is going to pitch once every 5 days. That's all people care about right now.
Skeens and Jared Jones. Both of them are pretty much appointment viewing. I mean, Brian Reynolds is, like, such an anti-Davis Matic player. He's, like, just, like, fine kind of everywhere. Never going to hit, you know, 35 home runs. Never going to steal a ton of bases. Like, he just is totally fine. Whatever. I mean, Brian Reynolds is the three-hole hitter in a pitcher's park for a terrible offense.
All right, let's go through a couple pitchers here. Carter Crawford of Boston with a tough week. Also, Kyle Harrison of the San Francisco Giants. Boston probably not going anywhere. Giants playing much better. So they're going to be less patient, I think, with a guy like Harrison. If he struggles, Crawford probably going to stick. I mean, where's Boston going?
Cutter Crawford is not a very good pitcher, so this is really not all that surprising to me. Harrison, I actually think, is all right. But yeah, I mean, Cutter Crawford in these AL matchups, I would prefer to start a lot of other guys.
All right. Well, coming up next, it's time for us to dig into the waiver wire. Take a look at some 12-team leagues, see if we can find some players less than, it looks like, about 25% owned in fantasy leagues, guys that are having pretty decent years. Maybe a replacement for Acuna, even though we know there's no true replacement for Acuna. We'll be right back with more fantasy sports today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. A lot of folks going to be hitting the waiver wire tomorrow. See if we can dig in here a little bit and see if we can find a couple of players to pick up for you. Now, again, if this is an NL-only league or one of these, like, really deep, you know, 15, 20-team leagues, some of these players are not going to be available because it's just the nature of the beast here. Let's talk about Brandon Marsh. We'll start here. This is where I like Marsh, Davis, but this is where I think Philly's going to try and upgrade this here. I don't know. I kind of feel like he's a good player when he gets hot, but he just strikes out so much. I know they played Rojas there in the outfield also. He's the kind of player, I think, in a 12-team league where maybe six teams have owned Marsh already, Davis, right? They're like, oh, he got cut. Let me pick him up. Let me put him in. And they get him. They're like, you know, I don't like him so much. They cut. Somebody else picks him up too. He's 23% owned in fantasy leagues, but the Phillies right now, with all of the pitching that they have and all of the hitting that they have, I don't think they're going to just be satisfied with starting Marsh exclusively in a platoon. I think that if I had him in an NL as an example, I would trade him.
That's I think you're right about that. I mean, it's one of their most obvious spots to upgrade their lineup, where it's like a guy they can only play against, you know, I don't know what, 70% of the pitchers in the league. They also sub him or defensive replacement him quite often. They pinch or defensive replacement him. And if you look at their lineup, I mean, man, there are really not too many weak spots in there. They have Posh to be their defensive. I mean, he never really learned to hit for Atlanta, but he is still one of the best defensive outfielders in baseball. And I mean, the crazy thing about Marsh is we've seen they don't even really care about the results that he gets because they kind of know who he is. Do you remember that run last year where for like 17 days, he was literally the best hitter in baseball. I remember he got to like $5,800 on DraftKings. Oh, yeah. And he was still batting ninth. They do not care about the results they get because they know he can't hit. He can't hit same-handed pitching at all. So yeah, sure, pick him up, whatever, $1. But I don't think you count on him rest of the year.
Okay, let's move on to the Oakland Athletics and a player that I'm quite familiar with, JJ Bleday. Davis, once upon a time, was the very best hitter in college baseball. And I believe the sixth overall pick in the draft, and he just couldn't hit for Miami. So they traded him to Oakland for AJ Puck. You know, he really wasn't that great even in his first go around with Oakland, and he's still striking out. But Davis, I think Oakland may be unlocking a little bit more here. And I wonder, more or less maybe in the keeper league format, if all of a sudden he may never hit what he did. I think he was a Golden Spikes winner. I think he hit like 320 or something like that at Vanderbilt. And I don't know that that's ever going to happen. And I feel like they've been tinkering a lot with him. But no pressure. You lose a guy with some home runs. Maybe this is the time where he gets unlocked a little bit.
So these are the sorts of players, Craig. I mean, look, I love buying on guys like this in fantasy. Like a literal first-round pick. A guy who we've known about forever. I mean, he actually was drafted out of high school and then decided, not enough money. I think he was like a 40th round pick or something and then went to college and was awesome. And was also, sometimes what'll happen with these guys is they're kind of poor in the minor leagues and you're kind of ready for him to not be that good when he gets in the major leagues. No, I mean, he was still like a top 30 prospect, top 40 prospect in baseball. The power never really got there as much as you would have liked in the minor leagues, which I think is maybe the explanatory variable. Like, what do you do with a guy who doesn't steal a ton of bases and is kind of like a 260 style hitter who doesn't have great power in professional baseball? But I just want to buy on guys like this who, you know, I mean, he's playing every day. This dude is playing every day. He's going to get every possible plate appearance on this crappy Oakland team. Probably not going to get a ton of counting stats in terms of the stolen bases, but I think that would have been the third most he had in any season when he was in the minor leagues as a whole. So yeah, I do like adding Bleday in kind of any format.
Yeah, it could be an interesting second half, I think, for him. All right, now these are players that are, you know, grinded out type guys. Hard to really do firm recommendations. We'll start off with Mike Tauchman of the Chicago Cubs, Davis. And look, Tauchman has bounced around a little bit, sometimes plays, sometimes sits, sort of is in a little bit of a platoon role. A lot of strikeouts here. Look, in these leagues where you have to set the lineup at the beginning of the week, these are really hard guys to own because you just don't know how much they're going to play. So probably for me, under 15% owned in fantasy leagues, you have a significant injury or you find out the guy's going to Coors for a week or, you know, Arizona, somewhere like that. That's the time to pick this guy and put him up.
Yeah, I mean, look, Tauchman is a 33-year-old left-handed outfielder. I guess when you are left-handed, you're on the good side of the platoon. So maybe you can check the Cubs schedule 1 week and they're about to face five right-handed pitchers and that can be all right. In general, I'm more into these kind of partial playing time guys when I think I've got a good chance at one of the counting events, so a home run or a stolen base, like if that's kind of their calling card. And neither of those things are Tauchman's calling card. Never had double-digit stolen bases. Only had double-digit home runs once. I'm probably leaving him. And he doesn't lead off. You know, he bats like seventh or eighth for them. So I think I'm probably leaving Tauchman out there. I prefer the Armstrong Crow guy.
Okay. Let's skip ahead here to the last guy here because I think that these numbers right here, 7% owned for Adam Duvall, Davis. This is going to be the most picked up player in fantasy. Remember, the Acuna injury, we really didn't know until all the waivers ran on Sunday. So these numbers are from this past week. And I know Duvall's batting under 200. But I am telling you now, this is the guy to pick up in fantasy because I don't think the Braves are going to be super aggressive just yet on replacing Acuna. Duvall has a long track record of getting hot in fantasy, in reality. I'm not saying that he's the guy that he was 3 years ago or even with the Reds 7 years ago, whatever it was. But this guy should be at least 50% owned in all fantasy leagues, and some numbers will hurt you, but a lot will help you. I would pick him up.
Yeah, I mean, the key thing with Duvall, we just talked about this with Talkman, is teams that Duvall has played on have preferred to not play him every single day because he is one of these guys with crazy left versus right splits. But right now, I don't really see what the option the Atlanta Braves have is. Like, if they have the option between we're going to platoon Michael Harris or we're going to platoon Duvall, they would definitely much rather platoon Harris. And honestly, probably even Ozuna. Like, it's just kind of the way things break out. So Duvall has always been a guy. I mean, Craig, you know, he left-handed pitchers should just be frightened when they see Adam Duvall's name on the opposing lineup. But he holds his own against right-handed pitching. Like, it's not like he goes to the plate and can't do anything. Obviously, his numbers versus righties have gotten a little bit worse as he's aged. I think this is his age 35 season. But if he's going to get 6 out of the 7 games a week, if he's getting 22 plate appearances a week, I mean, yeah, he becomes one of the awesome – like is the best pickup in fantasy baseball, period, because you're going to have a very good chance of a home run any given week. He plays in this great lineup. He's going to bat fifth normally when he starts. It's just like it's everything is perfectly set up for him.
Yeah, for the time being. I mean, this may not be a pickup for August or September, but it is a pickup for the summer, without a doubt. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today. We got plenty more to come here on the show, and we'll continue our conversation as we get you ready for the second half of the fantasy baseball season. And also for those of you who are, you know, watching the show and thinking to yourself, hey, where can I get more fantasy content? We've got Fantasy Sports Today tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, right here with Joe.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price, exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com, Upwork.com.
Pisa Pia and Matt Stryker, I know they've been talking some football here on the show. We will as well as the summer goes on and we get closer to training camp and some of the things of those of that nature. And Davis, I know that you're in, I'm sure, hot best ball season, right? Like June is sort of best ball season, I think, in fantasy baseball. So we'll hit on that
big
more
time
as we return next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. As we hit the waiver wire, we're going to talk some pitching in fantasy baseball. Naturally, those of you who have Zach Gallen on your fantasy league, maybe this segment is for you to see if you can figure this out. Now, we'll start off with a player, Davis, that I really like a lot. I saw him pitch against Miami out of the bullpen. The Cubs are now starting him. His name is Ben Brown. He's got 46 innings pitched. This guy has just some incredible stuff. 55 strikeouts in 46 innings. The only thing for, and by the way, he's 20% owned in fantasy leagues. This is going to hit 50 by Sunday or Monday. So just keep that in mind. And he's on the Cubs. He's on a good team. Davis, the thing with him is that he's really a relief pitcher at heart. He's got like two pitches and that's it. So I don't know if this long-term is sustainable. I definitely think it is out of the bullpen. I think in some way, Ben Brown is going to be a major player for the Cubs, either as a starter or a bullpen guy the next few years. I really like what I'm seeing, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to just fully go all in on like this past start where I think he threw 7 no-hit innings or something like that. But this is someone at least to keep your eye on. I think the Dynasty League owners want to handle him too. I mean, he could end up being their closer, by the way, I think long-term.
Yeah, so guys like this are always sort of interesting in fantasy baseball because relievers will generally come in and strike a bunch of guys out because that's what they're used to doing, and they will do, you know, max velocity, max effort. Right? I mean, right now, 30% K rate, 9.2% walk rate. That's kind of exactly what you would expect. I mean, obviously, the issue you're going to run into with a guy who is a relief pitcher is how many innings is he, like, even capable of throwing. You know, he has not had that much. He's also like fairly young, fairly like a relative lack of experience. I like the profile though, but this is a guy who's maxed out at 104 innings. And since he is 18, this is crazy. So he's been in the Cubs organization for 7 seasons. He's thrown 343 innings total. So yeah. Pick him up. Sure. I mean, I'm down for it. You know, spend, I don't know, maybe 70 of your 1,000 fab bucks on him or something. I don't think I'd go crazy because what are you really hoping? I mean, are you going to get 5 starts out of him? Five starts know. Would be the most innings he's thrown ever in a season, you know?
Yeah, probably going to end up being back in the bullpen. I guess the Cubs will try to add some starting pitching. All right, the Mets week has been, and the season's been rough, but the Mets week has been, boy, quite the disaster. And Edwin Diaz went on the injured list. So this Reed Garrett, who they picked up, Davis, out of nowhere, had an incredible spring, has carried it over to the regular season. Now, his ERA has gone up a little bit. I mean, this was like under 1 for about a month. Now it's at 3, but he is probably their best option, I would guess, in the back end of the bullpen. And as long as we're going to just chase saves, and as long as Diaz is hurt, this is probably the top pickup from the pitching side in fantasy this week.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. I mean, I would be a little bit hesitant to just go like all in on anyone who happens to be a member of the New York Mets right now. I also do like if you're playing in, so I believe it's CBS and an ESPN leagues. He's got that relief pitcher eligibility. That is kind of one of those hacks you have to think about where when you play like NFBC, like high stakes leagues, it doesn't matter because you just have pitcher slots. But when you can find guys who are generating mass stats like this, who are relief pitcher eligible, you know, it's a little bit of a hack. But you know, same deal with him. You're a little bit worried, like, okay, how many innings is this guy going to be eligible for this season?
All right. Also, the Mets, Tyler McGill getting extended opportunities, 16 innings pitched, 1.69 earned run average, 20 strikeouts, 6 walks, not heavily owned. You know, dangerous situation with all the Mets right now. We just don't know sort of which direction they're headed. McGill is a trade candidate, I would think, as well for the Mets.
I mean, I'm pretty familiar with Tyler McGill's work. He's been around for a while. He is like a pretty, again, I mean, you know, this is a career 4.5 fielding independent pitching, career 1.4 whip, career 22% K rate. He's running pretty hot right now with the strikeouts. It's actually crazy. This season, in only 16 innings pitched, he's got a 31% K rate, career 22%. So again, it's just I really sympathize with people who are scrounging for starting pitching, particularly in these 15-team leagues, because it's just like, yeah, I mean, I guess you can kind of squint and see it, but it just does not feel that good.
All right. Now let's, I mean, this is the reason why you can never really quit the Padres, Davis, because they always like have these guys and makes you believe like, yeah, like this is the year for them. They know what they're doing. They always find these strange guys. I mean, their closer, who we're going to talk about later, Suarez, has been like the best closer in baseball. And then they found this guy, Jeremiah Estrada, out of nowhere. He broke the strikeout record for most consecutive strikeouts to start a career. His ERA is under 1, 28 strikeouts, 17 innings, 5 walks. You know, credit to the Padres here. Again, finding somebody off the scrap heap here. He's 19% owned in fantasy. I think there's some people out there that think, hey, maybe Suarez fails and Estrada's the next guy up, like in case that happens. And I guess for that reason, you have to pick him up. But yeah, I mean, Suarez has shown no indication of not being San Diego's closer.
That's definitely true. I mean, this is, Craig, this is kind of similar to the thing we do in fantasy football where we pick up these, you know, handcuff running backs, like more or less. I mean, obviously, you can use Jeremiah Estrada statistics right now. I've never seen this before. On Baseball Reference, Jeremiah Estrada, through 13 appearances, has a 736 ERA plus. Don't think I have ever seen an ERA plus above 200 before. He struck out 45% of his opposing batters. He's only issued 8 walks. His exit velocity is really low. I mean, again, I am not Eno Saris. I can't break down just how good these guys are. But statistically, this looks like a guy who's super worth holding, particularly in these big 15 team formats.
Yeah, and think about it. Their closer for the Padres last year, they got a lot of flack for letting him go. Josh Hader, no longer there. Didn't make any difference whatsoever to the Padres, yet people in fantasy baseball think the closer is an important position in fantasy. I don't know. Can't make it up. We'll take a quick time out here on the show. Coming up next time, look at some K-props for some starting pitchers today. We'll preview the Reds and Cubs and also the Blue Jays and Pirates. We'll be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We got Saturday baseball coming your way. We're going to do a daily fantasy preview coming up. We're also going to take a look at some K-props. Davis and I will run through the closing position in fantasy baseball. We haven't touched on this since the beginning of the year, so we thought we would touch on it today here on the first day of June on the show. Davis, let's start off today with this Cubs-Reds matchup today. Cincinnati, boy, you talk about, are they the most disappointing team in baseball in Major League? Maybe Toronto is. I don't know. Cincinnati's got to be near there, if not the team. They're at the Cubs today. Green, generally speaking, is striking out 6-7 guys a game. This is a great line I think FanDuel has set. -128, under +100. Very obviously here, you got to keep an eye on the wind today, as always at Wrigley, before you play any of these K-props. But simply put, there's a heavy lean toward the over here, and I get it. Green is one of the better strikeout pitchers in baseball.
He is one of the better strikeout pitchers in baseball. The Cubs are one of the better contact hitting teams in baseball, though, particularly when Cody Bellinger is not in the lineup. It's kind of interesting to see this one. To see this one juiced to the over, because they have a bunch of guys who are in their lineup who are not really big strikeout guys, which Nico Horner, great contact hitter. I suppose they are still playing Christopher Morel every day. I would probably lean the under here. I mean, the other thing with Hunter Green is, he vacillates wildly in consistency start to start. I mean, the strikeout stuff will always be there. Sometimes the walks and the home runs can creep up on him. Although one of the very few guys who is a young starting pitcher in baseball, right, 24 years old, who goes 100 pitches pretty much every single time. So slight lean to the under. Don't love either angle here, though.
All right, now let's go to the Blue Jays. They take on the Pirates today. The Pirates do strike out quite a bit, but again, it's a pitcher that doesn't strike out a ton. So interesting number here. You see Kikuchi of the Blue Jays, 6.5 strikeouts. You can get +120 if this goes over. The under -150. Pirates, one of those teams too, I think, with Rowdy Tellez and some others, you got to check their lineup, I think, when you're making a bet like this. But needless to say, Davis, do you like Kikuchi to go over this number or under today?
I think I actually probably like the over. Now, we are going to have Connor Joe and McCutcheon at the DH/first base dots instead of Tellez, because Kikuchi is a left-handed hitter. And, you know, one of the things that you would prefer when you are, using a left-handed starting pitcher for one of these things is they just end up in a spot where they're against one of these teams. The Phillies actually is a good example where the Phillies, like two of their best hitters are left-handed, and that puts you into a nice spot where those guys are not going to get platooned. That is not the case for the Pittsburgh Pirates. But Kikuchi also is, he vacillates fairly wildly start to start in effectiveness because it kind of depends how many of his pitches he's got going for strikes in a day. So, for example, he can go up against the Baltimore Orioles, maybe the best offense, second best offense in baseball, 9 strikeouts, 1 earned run, no walks. But then he can go up against the crappy Detroit Tigers, no strikeouts, 5 earned runs, doesn't get out of the third inning. But I actually think I would lean over here if I was playing this one.
All right, let's check in with 2 more pitchers before we go. I'm going to show you 2K props here. The first is Framber Valdez of the Astros. He goes against the Twins. 5.5 strikeouts is his number. He's back now pitching. How deep he goes into the game, I guess, is the question here. And then finally, Ranger Suarez of the Philadelphia Phillies. They take on the Cardinals. If this was a month ago, we would be like banging the over all day long. But the Cardinals, all of a sudden, Davis, have woken up playing better baseball.
Yeah, don't have a huge opinion on the Framber one. Again, I mean, just here little sports betting thing. If you don't have a real opinion on a side, just take the under because the market's always going to like the over a little bit more. And then with Suarez, guy's pitching like he's the best freaking pitcher in baseball. How about a 9 strikeout start at Coors Field? Pretty strong stuff there. But I think he is completely sun running relative to who he's been for the final or the first like 8 years of his career. So again, I'm taking the under on Ranger Suarez. What a crazy start to the season for him.
It is. I mean, he is probably the single most industry player that people feel should be sold high on for the second half of the season. I've heard that quite a bit. All right, coming up, hour number 2 is upon us. We've got Gray Albright coming on the show. We'll set a DFS lineup for today. We've got the closer report, fantasy reality, and the Sports Grid 60. So 1 hour of our show is officially in the books, but we got another hour to go. So we'll take a quick time out and we'll be back with more fantasy sports today here on Sports Grid every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern. And we'll be right back.